ravaged by snow and darkness, there was one who tried to warn the world of the impending White Walker invasion. And his name was Max Wiener. Max, what is good? Everyone, welcome back to the Pressing Coverage Podcast. Oh, it's good to be back, Max. How are you doing, bud?
I've only seen the first season of Game of Thrones, so thank you for looking spoilers, Mason.
That's not a spoiler. Literally, the first episode is called Winter is Coming.
It's what now? It's Winter. The middle of July.
Join us next week for where we talk about the Home Run Derby.
How you doing today, Mason?
I'm doing well. You know, isn't the one day of the year where we have no sports going on, isn't that coming later this week?
Oh my god, you're right. That's like Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible cold day. But it's good. I've been enjoying some summer league. I've been rewatching Game of Thrones to get caught up for next week's season premiere, which I'm more than excited for. And you know, of course, I'm watching some baseball, getting really excited for the All-Star weekend. What about you?
Not much. I've just been hanging out. I've also been dabbling a little bit with the summer league. So today I had three screens going, watching a Twitch stream, the summer league game with the Mavs and the Suns, and then watching the MLB futures game. So it was a very packed day for sports and media for me. So always a good way to enjoy a nice lazy Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that seemed pretty relaxing, even if there was some sensory overload there. But yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a really good week after the 4th of July. Oh, I've seen Spider-Man Homecoming, have great things to say about that. And I don't know if I talked about it earlier, but I went and saw Baby Driver, and I had a ton of fun with that movie.
I'm planning on seeing it on Tuesday. So tune in next week, and Mason and I will do a rundown of one of the hottest summer movies right now.
Yeah, and it might be my favorite summer movie so far, but I expect that crown to be taken by War for the Planet of the Apes, which I've heard nothing but... the only thing I've heard about that movie is that it's a masterpiece, and I've heard that from several people, so stay tuned for that as well. So, you want to jump into some summer league?
Of course, because it's always basketball season.
Yeah, the grind doesn't stop. It's a 10-month season now, which is just... A plus NBA. I'm so proud of you. What has stood out to you the most so far in the couple of Las Vegas League games we've watched so far?
So today I was watching the Mavs and the Suns, and I'm sure we were both very, very impressed with DSJ.
Oh, Dennis Smith Jr.
Yes, yes. He looked fantastic. Was doing all aspects of the game fantastic. He had a few really nice passes. He was proficient from both inside and outside the arc. And I was really, really happy with how he was playing. Not so much with Josh Jackson. Like, I definitely can see where people are coming from in terms of his potential, but he was not showing it in the game today.
Yeah, I'll talk about Jackson first before I go do my deep dive onto Dennis Smith. So this game kind of showed what every criticism of Jackson really was leading up into the draft. He's a good defender. This game he kind of underwhelmed on that side, but I know he's better than that. He got 9 rebounds. He's a great rebounder. He's like a Swiss Army knife, but his shot is still wonky, and that is a concern, because you know he could be one of the next in line of those series of NBA prospects that has so much potential, but they lack everything. Only thing they need is a jumper, but they never get there. And so if he was drafted by the Spurs, I wouldn't have been worried about this, but he didn't. So his shot looked a little wonky. He didn't get those long-range shots to go in. I don't think many of his jump shots did go in. He had a couple nice layups, though. He kind of underwhelmed me today. And I think he'll get better because, you know, it is just summer league, and you don't want to put too much emphasis on that, because we'll talk about it in a little bit. Lonzo Ball also struggled a little bit. But now onto our man, Dennis Smith Jr.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, Max, he got 25-8-4-4 today. 25 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, and 4 steals. Ooh, he did everything. And man, he was so much fun to watch. He has that it factor that I don't know I've seen a player have on the Mavs, not named Dirk, in years, really. Since really the championship team. So, you know, he's just so... you know, talented. He's got so much athleticism, which is something we need. He can. My biggest takeaway from this game, because I wasn't able to watch a ton of NC State games last year, I don't think anybody was actually, is that that guy can get to the rim, and it is very hard to stop him. And when you put him in a Rick Carlisle offense that really opens up and spaces the floor, man, he's going to do a lot of good things for the Mavericks. And, you know, if I had to bet money on who's winning Rookie of the Year, I'm running to the bet. I'm running to place my bet on him.
Yeah, I was really happy, especially since we were a little sad that Malik Monk was not taken by the Mavs. But I think that with DSJ's performance so far, that we're a little sigh of relief. And definitely, he has been fantastic and is definitely looking forward to seeing how he works in with the rest of the team when training camp and the regular season rolls around.
Yeah, me too. And because right now he's kind of just playing with undrafted free agents and second round picks and Yogi Ferrell, who has played very good as well. Yeah, it'll be good to see him in the starting lineup and see what that really looks like. Again, I don't think the team is going to be that good, especially with, you know, the Spurs and Rockets still in the division. And, of course, Boogie and the Brow are down in New Orleans. But it is good to see that we're making progress. And I'm totally okay with the Mavs taking their time building up a good team, especially with Golden State, the Cavs, and now the Celtics kind of up at the top. But speaking of the Celtics, did you watch any of the Lakers-Celtics game last night?
I didn't watch the one last night. I watched the one, I think the first, like it was the opening game of the Summer League. I tuned into that one.
Okay, the Lonzo game?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, where he didn't do so hot.
No, but well, he passed well, but he could not make a shot to save his life.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just one of those nights, I think. But last night, he recorded a triple-double in the Summer League, which I think he went 11-11-11, which is good. Yeah, make a wish. Which isn't bad. I mean, well, it is a triple-double, so of course it's not bad. But it was kind of an underwhelming one, like just the points. He didn't really try to go score points, which is fine because he's not a score first guy. He's a pass first guy. Obviously, his passing is, you know, crisp, clean. He sees the floor in ways that nobody else really can. So it was fun to watch. But for me, man, the crowd was a ton of fun, and like that, it wasn't a playoff atmosphere, but it was.
Rivalry's back.
Yeah, no, it was as loud as a Summer League game can get. There were a ton of Celtics fans there. There were a ton of Lakers fans there. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to see Tatum and Lonzo on the court at the same time, coming from two basketball powerhouses in college to two powerhouses in the NBA. So that's cool. It's kind of cool to see their journey. I think they'll definitely be two players to watch in the future. They've already been compared to Lonzo. Has been compared to Magic Johnson. And then Tatum has been compared to Paul Pierce. So it'll be fun to see if they can live up to their potential.
Yeah, I definitely, the Summer League is fun, but I think you do need to take it with a grain of salt, especially since they are playing against both other rookies and undrafted players. So it's a nice little preview. It's a nice little appetizer to what we could potentially see. But I think until the training camp and preseason games start around, I think that you really, got to wait until then to really get a good picture.
Yeah, but what I do like about the Summer League is that it typically kind of tides us over during like the calm times of free agency, because free agency isn't over yet, but there's still kind of the rumors going around that Melo might get bought out and traded to Houston.
Please.
So,
he deserves so much better.
Yeah. I still don't know how they're going to be able to pull that off or afford it, but we'll see. So it's nice to kind of keep us distracted from that. And I'm glad that the games are on ESPN and not just on NBA TV, which not a lot of people get. So it's a good way for, you know, fans of their teams to really get a small glimpse at their draft, at their prospects, because I know for us and, you know, the Spurs, they typically don't have a lot of rookies that get a lot of playing time in their lineup, whether it be for coaching philosophies or whatever you have it. So this is fun. I'm glad that it's a lot of fun to watch these young players get playing time.
100%. I think that's the end all be all. It's just fun. And
yeah.
Fun is fun.
Fun is fun, Max. You tell him.
And then who was it? I was watching today, and it was like the most random freaking stat ever that is like Jordan Spieth's brother or cousin or something on?
Yes, his brother who played basketball at Brown, I think was just picked up by the Mavs. I don't know why. I don't know how good he was, but I think he got subbed into the game at one point, and so that was a pretty cool shout out to, you know, Texas athletes. Also, shout out to Sean Spieth, Jordan's dad, who I interned for last summer. Shout out to MVP Index. But anyways, yeah, you got any other things you want to talk about with the summer league? Anyone else?
No, I really just, it makes me excited to, like, basketball just ended, but with this new crop of rookies, I'm definitely excited to see how they perform once the league starts back up in just a few months.
Yeah, this class of rookies is going to cause me to make my first league pass purchase, because I would just use my friends, but back in college. But now I'm going to have to buy my own, because I'm going to want to watch almost every Malik Monk game I can. And I'm also going to, you know, want to watch as many Timberwolves games as I can. And then, of course, I want to watch Lonzo grow. I want to watch Lonzo really take the reins of the offense and see what that team looks like. Although I highly, highly doubt that the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, like LaVar Ball said, because the West, like we said last week, is stacked as hell. So, speaking of stacked as hell, let's talk about the MLB All-Star Game, Max, something near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yep. So the festivities kicked off today for the All-Star Extravaganza with the MLB Futures game, where all of tomorrow's brightest stars get a little bit of time in the spotlight today. Were you able to catch any of it?
I watched one. I didn't watch the game, but I did watch some highlights. I know your favorite part of the game was when our former boy, Lewis Brinson, hit a nice single.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I for some weird reason, I cannot find a box score for this game to save my life. But I can't tell if they scored a single or double, because he did make it to second, but they did throw home. So I think it was just a single with an advance on to a double or to second. So, but he did get a nice RBI single, which I don't know. He had a small stint with the Major League club. I think it was like 2 weeks ago now, and he didn't do so hot. But it's nice to see him to perform at this high stage. But I had a lot of fun with the Futures game today. I'm a big prospect guy. So the MVP of the game was Brent Honeywell. Mason, have you heard of the screwball before?
Yes, I have.
He is the first pitcher in like 20 years to throw the screwball. And he'll be like the third major league pitcher ever to throw.
Ever. Yeah.
So it's going to be really exciting. He pitched two innings to start the game for the American team, and he gave up one hit, but he did strike out four people, and he was just dominant. So he did earn MVP honors. And then another big play of the game. So it was the ninth inning. The international team, so the world team, was starting to come back. It was 7-6, and then Ryan McMahon, which is a infield prospect for the Rockies.
That's a name.
Yeah, it is. It's an 80 grade name, which is very important for baseball players. He made a over the railing catch to get the second out in that inning, which really helped them, because they were on their last pitcher and the world team was about to tie it up. So that would have been really interesting to see. They were literally out of pitchers, because, you know, with these big games, they just pitch a guy for an inning and take him out. To be able to get everyone in. But it was a really fun game. Makes me really excited for these guys coming up. Also a little scared, because a guy named Derek Fisher, one of the Astros prospect, looks amazing. Just what they need, just another great prospect. But it was a good showing, and it's definitely one of my favorite nights of the year.
How did my boy Yadier Alvarez do?
So he did all right. You can see why he is a big name prospect, but he did get roughed up a little bit. He did give up a couple of runs. But I was listening to a podcast today that a lot of people are doing their updated mid of the year top 100 list for prospects, and a lot of people are worried that Alvarez is more of a thrower right now instead of a pitcher.
I know what you mean.
He's in the minors, these guys with a dominant, who have one dominant pitch. Like a plus-plus pitch, can throw it and get anyone out.
Okay.
And when they come up to the majors, these guys know how to lay off these pitches. So you need more of a ability to have sort of a sequence that, like, change eye levels, go inside and out, change speeds, to be able to fool guys instead of just having this ridiculous pitch to get him out.
Yeah, unless your name is Mariano Rivera, you need to be able to succeed in the MLB by having more than one pitch.
Exactly. Unless you, then, if not, you are a, like Mo was, a closer, a 8-9 inning guy who, those guys are still useful in the majors, but what you want out of this guy is a front-end starter, especially if somebody as highly as touted, and you can't do that with two pitches.
A guy that can go seven innings, yeah, you need him to develop more. So, yeah, I definitely understand that. So the Futures game happened today. Tomorrow's the Home Run Derby, and then on Tuesday's the All-Star game.
Yes.
So who do you have – so what are your thoughts on the Home Run Derby, first of all? Walk me through – do you think everyone should be there or no?
All right, so we have eight people in the Home Run Derby this year. From the NL, it is Giancarlo Stanton,
the reigning champ,
Boer, Cody Bellinger, and then Charlie Blackman. And then from the AL, it's Gary Sanchez, Mike Moustakas, Miguel Sano, and Aaron Judge. So the only one I really don't agree with is Gary Sanchez, which there's been a little bit of waves on him being in it, because I think that if he had the performance that he had so far and he wasn't a Yankee, it would be completely different than if he was a Yankee, because I feel like he does get a little bit of a bump. So right now he has 13 home runs, 40 RBIs, but in terms of just number of home runs hit, he is not even in the top 20. He's not even in the top 30. So the person people were surprised was not in it was Logan Morrison, who has 24 home runs right now. He is on the Rays, which is a very small market team, but he has had the pop. But I think the argument right now for Gary is that last year he did have such an amazing season. And right now, I think the number is he's hitting a home run every 13 at-bats compared to Judge, who's hitting a home run every 10 at-bats. So in terms of statistics, he has been out with injuries some of the year. So he has been playing for short of the time. But just having two guys, Yankees, I think that they could have picked somebody better than Gary Sanchez. But he is a Yankee, which is, I think, at the end of the day, why he's being represented in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I mean, because referencing last year, he had 20 home runs in his first 53 games, I believe. Or how many? And then I think he played 53 games and he recorded 20 home runs in his rookie season last year. And he played during the second half mostly. And so that's what the argument is for penciling him in this year. Yes, it is kind of unfair that he doesn't have as many as the guy on the Rays, and I understand the beef with that. But at the same time, if it gets more people to watch the Derby, then honestly, I'm gonna be okay with it, because the more attention baseball gets right now, the better, in my opinion. But also, I want to take a moment to recognize how almost every single person in this bracket this year has an awesome nickname. You know, with Aaron Judge, we have the Judge All Rise. With Justin Boer, we have the Boer. With Bellinger, we have Belly. We have with Charlie Blackman, we have the Great Black Monster. With Mike Moustakas, we have Moose. Miguel Sano is the Big Black Bear. Giancarlo, you know, I'm forgetting the 700 million home run nicknames that he has. And then Gary Sanchez, Gary Sanchez, or Dirty Sanchez, whatever you want to call him.
Oh, wow. You
know, I mean that in a good way. Don't Urban Dictionary that, people. Do not Urban Dictionary that. But, you know, it just – this is – I'm really excited for this Derby. I'm more excited for this one than I am, I think, for the past couple ones. And I think for people that don't have a player in this, for teams that don't have – fans of teams that don't have a player in this, this one's really exciting because you have a lot of young guys. You know, you have Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger and Gary Sanchez in here that can kind of be the sluggers of this generation. And we'll talk a little bit more about them in our second half piece – or our, in our second half podcast coming a little bit later. You know, it's very exciting for me – or not just for me, but for baseball in general. And it'll be fun to see Stanton really try to hold the crown against these guys, these up-and-comers that want to get to the top. So, Max, walk me through the bracket. How do you think it's going to go down?
So, with the new format that was just started last year, which I really enjoy, I think it definitely brings more intensity to it. It's more on your ability to hit a home run with speed instead of just hitting it in general, because it's 4 minutes a round, and it's whoever at the end of the round has the most moves on. So heads up, first is Giancarlo versus Gary. I think
Giancarlo, the one seed versus the 8 seed.
Yep, I think that Giancarlo wins that hands down. It's his home park. He won it last year. He knows how to do this. He knows the format. I definitely see him moving on there. Moose versus Sano.
Moose.
This one's tough for me. I love Sano. I'm gonna have to go with Sano. But okay. Moose he's hit 25 home runs. And Sano's hit 21. I think that this new format is going to really prefer guys who hit more of those line drive home runs instead of the big moonshots that take forever to come down. I'm not sure. Does the clock stop when the ball's in the air?
I don't think so. But I think you can keep – I think, like, you hit it and then you still get your another pitch. Like, you don't have to watch it.
Mm-hmm. But the only thing is, though, you do get a 30-second bonus if you hit two home runs over 440 feet, which all these guys can.
And you also get a timeout. I think you get one or two timeouts.
But I'm going to go with Sano. I don't know. Moose is a power guy, but this has really been an abnormal season for him in terms of the number that he's hit this quickly. So I'm going to go with Sano. Other side of the bracket, Judge versus Boer. I think it'll be interesting because it is in Boer's home park. But Aaron Judge has 30 home runs so far this season. He is a freak of nature. All rise, as you said. I'm going to have to go with the Judge. Blackman versus Bellinger.
Belly!
Blackman plays in Coors in Colorado, which is very, very beneficial to hitting home run balls. So I am going to – and he only has 19 home runs this season, playing half his game in Coors compared to Bellinger, who is 25. So I'm going to go with Bellinger. Do you want to do your – what is your first round for you?
Okay, my first round? Okay. Giancarlo barely edges out Gary Sanchez in the first one. I think we're sleeping on Gary here because we've seen what he can do when he's hot, and if he just gets going early, I think he's going to give Stanton a run for it.
Don't be sleeping on Barry O.
Don't sleep on Barry O. Never sleep on Barry O. Speaking of O, I'm going to take Sun-O in the next matchup.
Great segue.
I love the Moose, but if it's a battle of the Bear versus the Moose, I got to go with the Bear. That's not much logic in there, but I really just like Miguel Sano. He might be my champion. You might have to stick around and find out. Aaron Judge. Okay. I think he's going to be a little bit too much in his head and like that he doesn't want to mess up his swing. And yes, he is a cyborg and a Terminator from the future, but I think he's going to be a little rickety. I think he's going to start off really slow, and I think he's going to barely beat Justin Bour. I couldn't bring myself to not choosing him because I really want to see this next matchup between him and Belly.
Matchup.
I don't know if we're going to get it because it just seems too good to be true. The two biggest franchises in baseball with their two slugging rookies. Man, I want that to happen more than almost anything. But anyways, I got Belly winning the next one. I think Belly has one of the most pure home run swings I've ever seen. And like you said, Blackman plays in Coors. But don't sleep on him just because he plays in Coors. But like I said, Belly is literally – if you could – put a home run hitter in like you know how Kristaps Porzingis is a unicorn in the NBA? That's what Bellinger is in terms of home run hitting as a rookie. He's a unicorn right now. So I'm gonna go with Stanton, Sano, Judge, and then Belly.
Alright, so for the semifinal round, I have Giancarlo versus Sano. I am gonna do the upset here. I'm gonna pick Sano.
Did you look at my sheet?
I did not, but it is his home park, but I don't know. I love Sano. I think he is going to pull it out somehow. So it really comes down to who hits more home runs in that first round, because as we saw last year, whoever hits second has a huge advantage over
a huge advantage over
whoever hits first. So I think this one's gonna be really close. I think whoever hits second is going to win it. So depending on who that is.
So now you have Judge versus Belly. Who you got?
I think Bellinger has a chip on his shoulder. He is outperforming Judge right now in terms of number of home runs hit per the period of time. He's played 69 games.
Nice.
289 plate appearances, 25 home runs. Aaron Judge, 83 games, 361 plate appearances, 30 home runs. Bellinger is outperforming him in terms of home runs hit in the time period, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with Bellinger's going to outshine Judge. I think that he is the underappreciated rookie right now.
Which is so hard to say because he's just destroying everything, or destroying the home run ball.
Those are finals for me. Sano versus Bellinger.
Okay, I swear to God, Max, I think we agree too much on things, and I think we think too similarly, because I had the exact same, but I'll go different, just because I'm going to pick Stanton over Sano, because, you know, he's got that chip on his shoulder that, hey, I'm going to keep, this is my crown, I'm going to keep it, and I think he's going to, you know, it's in front of his home crowd, so, you know, he's going to bring his best, he's going to try really hard, so, which, you know, can't be said for every single home run derby participant. And then I'm going to also go with Belly over Judge. I think Judge is the better hitter. I think Bellinger is the better home run hitter. So that's what I'm going to go with. And so now the finals. You got Sano versus Belly, and I got Stanton versus Belly. So who you got?
I'm going to go with Bellinger. As you said, I think he is the better home run hitter. I also think that beating Judge would be a huge victory for him, since I think – other than Giancarlo, I think that everyone thinks Judge is going to win it. I'm sure the casual fan would definitely choose Judge to take home the crown. But I definitely think that Bellinger he's going to go out and kind of take the crown that Judge has had this season as the baseball storyline and kind of say, hey, I'm over here too. He is getting his attention right now, but I think that people tend to forget about him when they think about baseball, because Judge is the first person that comes to people's mind. So I think it's gonna be close, but I think that that Bellinger is going to pull this one out.
Yeah. For the sake of being different and arguing, I'll pick Stanton. I originally had Sano winning, but I'm gonna go with Stanton because, again, in front of his home crowd, he's got everything to prove, even though, you know, you might think that he lost his edge, but I think because it's in his home crowd, in front of, you know, everyone in Miami, I think he's going to want to do the city right and do it proud and kind of be the lone bright spot for that franchise right now.
Yeah, I would agree with. Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I was trying to think of something.
Because that sidebar. They're in such a bad position, man. They might have to go through an Astros level teardown and build back up. Especially with the way that management is right now, man. They're in a bad spot.
Yeah, they have Ozuna. That's respectable. He's doing
well.
Yeah, but
for how long? Also,
they have a great outfield. You could argue they might have the best outfield in baseball right now, with Stanton, Ozuna, and Yelich. I don't know. You're right. They have no pitching. They have sweet D, but
D Gordon, but I think that they might have a fire sale coming this.
They're hearing offers on Stan right now.
No one's gonna take that contract.
It's worth it.
I don't know. That's up for debate. But anyways, so let's. So speaking of worth it, Max, you going to tune into the All-Star game this year?
Of course, it's going to be a little change because for as long as I can remember watching the All-Star game, it has been the deciding factor for who gets home field advantage in the World Series, but as of this year, that is not the case. They're going back to the previous format since the infamous tie in the All-Star game. But I love it. Seeing these guys who, it's like making a fantasy team. You get the best of the best in the game together to make these super teams and play off against the other best players in the league. I think it's just, it's not like basketball and football where it's kind of like on its own, and you cannot play defense. You can be a lot more casual. I really feel like baseball, you have to put in the effort in this game to be able to perform it. It's not, since it's one-on-one pretty much pitcher batter, that I feel like it's more conducive for entertainment compared to just the score fests of most All-Star games.
Yeah, and like what I would say more than anything in the MLB All-Star game than you do in other All-Star games is you get memorable moments. Like in our All-Star game, we've seen the Bo Jackson home run. We've seen the Pete Rose collision at the home plate, and we've seen walk-off home runs. And so you don't really get that in the NBA All-Star game, really. Like you have a lot of memorable moments from the MLB All-Star game, and I think that's what makes it special. But let me ask you, Max, are you a little bit worried at all that there's not really any more incentive for the AL or the NL to try harder or whatever, or do you think it'll be fine?
I don't know. I'm really split on this, because on the one hand, that is the one unique thing about the All-Star game, was that it 100% mattered, that you're playing for these teams that are competing, potentially home field and the goal you're aiming for. But on the same time, a lot of these are fan votes. Like 2 years ago when it was pretty much the Cubs versus the Royals, and yeah, both those teams did well in the postseason, but the voting was more who could get their fan base to participate and less about who was actually the best player. Which is deciding something that could have a huge impact, i.e. 2011. But I think it's nice to try it this way this year. If it has a large impact on how the game is played in terms of the All-Star game, I'm sure they would consider switching it back, because Manfred has been very good about being active in, hey, if this doesn't work, I'm going to change it. But I do feel that I'm okay with the change. I'm not angry about it in any way.
Yeah, and I just think that the nature of how the sport is played is it's going to be fine. Like, people are still going to try to swing the bat as hard as they can and, you know, really show up for the fans, because it is one of the bigger stages of the MLB season. So, Max, if you would be so kind, could you walk us through the starting lineups for the AL and the NL? All
right, so to start out with the AL, the starting lineup, at catcher, we have Salvador Perez of the Royals. First base, Justin Smoke for the Blue Jays. Second base, we have Jose Altuve of the Astros. Also up the middle, we have Carlos Correa at shortstop with the Astros. Third base, we have Jose Ramirez of the Indians. And then the three outfielders are Mookie Betts of Boston, Aaron Judge of New York Yankees, and George Springer of the Astros. And then as the designated hitter, we have Corey Dickerson at Tampa Bay. And I'm not sure who they are going to put as the starting pitcher. My guess is going to be Kluber, because...
Really? Well, Kluber's pitching today.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not going to be there. I was going to say, because it is since the previous year's coaches, Francona is going to be there because he is having health issues, but I'm sure managers would be more inclined to pick somebody on their team. But looking down the list of who could potentially... I'm going to guess Chris Sale is going to be the starter.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well. I mean, he last pitched, what, 2 days ago?
So I think I'm not sure. So he could potentially. But yeah, that's always tough, because there's so many of these starters who get pulled because they did start the Sunday before, and their management is like, no, you're not playing. Which makes sense, but...
Yeah, if I were betting, man, I'd go with Sale.
And then now for the NL, at catcher, we have Buster Posey of San Francisco. First base, we have Ryan Zimmerman of Washington.
Hashtag free Goldie.
Second base, we have Daniel, not to be confused with David Murphy. Second base for Washington. Shortstop, we have the Goatsart, Jack Cozart from Cincinnati. Third base, we have Nolan, I'm really good, but nobody knows who I am, Arenado of the Rockies.
He's the Paul Goldschmidt of third baseman.
Exactly. And then outfield, we have Charlie Blackman, Bryce Harper, and Marcell Ozuna of the Rockies, the Nats, and the Marlins, respectively. And then for the starting pitcher, I think historically it's normally the player of the respective team who's hosting, which would be the Marlins, but they actually do not have a pitching participant, as I can see right now. So my guess for the starter is going to be between Max Scherzer and Zach Greinke.
Oh yeah, dude, shout out to the Greinke. He's had a very good bounce back season this year. Totally forgot about him. Just shout out to the Diamondbacks having a great season this year, which is very fun to see. And you know, who would have thought that a race for the, well, I guess you, if you can call it a race anymore, for the West would have been between anyone but would have been between the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers, and not the Dodgers and the Giants, because this is the first time we've had a real race there since what, for what, 10 years ago maybe.
Yeah, it's always normally decided by now, it seems like.
So yeah, that, I mean, I'm excited. I do think that it should be Goldschmidt or Votto starting at first base, but you know, Zimmerman, he's having a great season, and like, I'm okay with the guy having his first, this is his first All-Star appearance, right?
From what I can think, yes it is, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and so, like I said, like, I'm okay with him getting the start, because it's his first time, you know, let the guy, like, enjoy it, you know. Because Goldie started last year, and I'm sure Joey has started before, so, you know. The guys that have been there before, they've gotten the recognition, they know what it's like, but let the new guy, you know, get a start. I'm okay with that.
Well, I think it's also, as I was saying earlier, it's kind of the fan base. Like, the Nationals, because they're so good right now, they are really popular within the D.C. area, and those teams that can really drive, who have good marketing departments, who can drive people to vote, and it seems like they're really good at getting a chunk of players. Like, the Nats have three people in the starting lineup, potentially four if Max Scherzer ends up starting. So I think it's really it's a package deal, and it's really hard to separate those people out. Like, you can even argue Anthony Rendon could be the starting at shortstop or third base because of just the popularity of these players right now within their market, which is a huge market.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And like, that's why I think it's always difficult for teams like the Diamondbacks and the Rockies to get, you know, a significant amount of voters to come out and vote for, you know, their players. And so that's why I think we typically see the same, you know, teams really have their players represented well there. So, but yeah, I mean, is there anybody there on either of those rosters that you think should not be there, or you think someone got snubbed or whatever?
Honestly, I was looking before we started recording. It's just, it's tough because you need, they require that at least one, each team has one participant in the All-Star game. So some of these guys are there just because they needed somebody to represent their team, like Ender Inciarte of the Braves. I don't think that he is the first person that comes to mind. I think if Freddie Freeman wasn't hurt, he would definitely be their person, because he's come back hot, super hot, the Freeman. Also, Jay Hay, I think that it's a little surprising Kutch isn't there, because he has really turned it on as of late. I think it's just
because
that is
true.
He did have such a cold start to the season. And then it's weird to not see a Mets pitcher. It's kind of sad. Oh, DeGrom isn't on the roster.
He is not, or he is?
He is not, unless he may have gotten picked up as... The pitchers change every 5 seconds because of them deciding to let them go or not. But I, on the official MLB page, which I'm looking at right now, I do not see DeGrom's name. So that's surprising to me. Because...
Is Is Matt Harvey still hurt, question mark?
Matt Harvey is just Matt Harvey. He's protecting New York from villainry because he is the hero we need, but not the one we deserve.
He flew too close to the sun.
Yes, he did. Why but... sports stars should not live in New York, the volume 9.
But let's talk about that, because that to me is one of the most interesting stories in all of baseball. It sucks because I loved that rotation. Max, what is wrong with the Mets pitching rotation?
They taught them a slider that is really effective but really bad for your ulnar collateral ligament, which equals Tommy John surgery, which equals people not being able to pitch. And for some reason, there is an injury bug in the Mets locker room that only affects their starting pitchers, which has been really bad. Because you know what the problem is? They got rid of Bartolo Colon, and everything went downhill from there.
Big Sexy. Who, didn't he just get cut from the...
Yeah, he is currently on the AAA team for the Minnesota Twins. So the Minnesota Twins are not losing a game the rest of the season.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But, you know, baseball is better whenever we have more superstars. And Syndergaard is definitely up there. He's one of my favorite pitchers to watch.
They were literally forming the Justice League.
Yeah.
And that'd be cool. Like, yeah. They went from being the most exciting young team in baseball to being
the land of misfit toys
once again.
Yeah, they've become the land of misfit broken toys, and it breaks my heart because, you know, sorry for the pun. But, you know, because like Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey, I'm forgetting their other young guy that they called up this year. It's supposed to be their good number four guy. You know, they were all healthy coming into the season, and things were, you know, excited. Like, I love the Mets when Matt Harvey is good, because Matt Harvey is, like, kind of that last...
Were you talking about Steven Matz?
That might be him.
Yep, Steven Matz has just never been healthy, which has been the issue. But they still have the Mr. Hair himself, the walking head and shoulders commercial, Jason DeGrom.
I thought you were going to say Noah Syndergaard. But, yeah, like, you have DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Harvey. And as I was saying, like, Harvey's kind of like the last pitcher of that dying breed that is, like, the big personality, you know, date supermodels type pitcher. And, you know, because now we kind of, you know, we have social media, but, like, a lot of the pitchers are kind of quiet, you know. Like, they're like a lot of baseball stars. But that, I mean, like, they don't have a ton of, like, cockiness and whatever. And I think... you know, emotional pitchers are fun to watch. And Harvey, I feel like, was, like, the last of those.
I remember it was 2013 when he was first coming up. I tuned into every single one of the starts because every single one of the starts, he had the possibility of throwing a no-hitter, a perfect game. He was that good. He was just electrifying, and it's really sad to see him fall this quickly and this hard. And you got to hope he bounces back somehow, but he's just turned and he's broken. Like, he's just, and there's a new injury every week, and when he's healthy, he just doesn't have the stuff anymore, which is really sad, but he's still young. He is only 28, but you never know, but I think that it was just a star that shined bright, burns out really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I could, like, he is one of the most interesting players in baseball to me, just because of his career so far. Like, I could literally talk about Matt Harvey all day, but we'll save that for another time. But Max, let me ask you one more question about Harvey. Do you think that he needs a change of location, change of scenery?
Yes, I'm gonna say I think that a majority of his problems do stem from
Rangers.
That'd be cool. his injury issues, but you can't say that he does have, one, an attitude problem, and two, that the temptations of
New York City
are definitely getting to him. And honestly, I would love to see him on the Rangers, but sticking him in the middle of Minnesota or in Arizona or somewhere where there is a lot less distraction, a lot less
Milwaukee
media attention. Because that's also it, too. He's the starling of every newspaper in New York.
He's their front page. But that's so strange because I don't even think he's the guy.
Well, the thing is, he does stupid stuff so often that they can stick him on the front page of the news, and it's easy. It's an easy story.
That's true.
4 years ago, he had an under 3 ERA and was pitching almost 200 innings.
Wow. Matt Harvey. Good Matt Harvey. We miss you. Please come back. So that's all I got for today, Max. I mean, you got anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. No. I'm really excited for the week. I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit of wrap-up of the All-Star game, but it's going to be a hard couple of days without baseball, but it'll be worth it. We'll get through it together, Mason. Don't worry.
Yes, we will. It'll be a long, cold midsummer, but we'll get through the week. All right. Well, yeah, just your reminder, feel free to follow us on Twitter at Pressing Cover. I'm at Mason_B Shireen. Max is at Maximus Wiener. Feel free to check our website out, pressingcoverage.com. And you guys have a good rest of the week. Enjoy the All-Star weekend. Peace out, guys.
Thanks, guys.